this is Mish Hancock, and you are listening to Mishmash, a place where I get to talk to the weird, wacky, wonderful people of this world, people I adore and want to know more about. Today, my guest is Matt Rathel. Matt is the studio director at Graphite Lab, which brings brands to life in fun and entertaining ways by consistently creating hit video games. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Mish, how are you?
So this sounds like a dream come true, being a video game. I mean, that's like the coolest of the cool, right?
It is for me. Yeah, sure. it's been kind of a dream since I was a kid.
It's amazing. And so, what was the first video game you ever played? Do you remember?
Oh, this is a question I like to ask people. Yeah, it would have been a version of Pac-Man on an Atari. I think the 5200 is kind of an upgraded version of it, but at my grandparents' house for sure.
Oh my gosh, mine was Pong. That's how old I am.
Pac-Man wasn't that much after it. In video gamer years, I'm pretty ancient, so I feel like yeah.
But so you obviously were an early adopter. You were probably all over it. And what made you say, I want to design these things? I'm going to go figure this out.
Yeah, I was born in the 80s and the Nintendo came out and it was the hit toy of a Christmas season. I think it was 85, 86 maybe. And I got a Nintendo for Christmas and spent most of Christmas morning just digging into Super Mario Brothers and became completely and instantly addicted. And as I was playing it more and more, I started to tell my friends, I think this is what I want to do when I'm older. And I thought about, wanting to be a police officer, architect, and other things. But you can blame Super Mario Brothers for my current career choice.
That's awesome. I love it. All right. So what kind of video games? I mean, you guys have touched a lot of brands that everybody knows. Who have you guys worked with?
Sure. Some of our earliest brands included classic board games. So we would take games like The Game of Life, Payday, Candyland, Chutes and Ladders, and we were responsible for converting those board games into games for, say, the Game Boy Advance or the Nintendo DS, if you remember those platforms. And more recently, we've been working with, again, more mass market brands such as LOL Surprise, Roller Coaster Tycoon with Atari, and probably another 50 brands in between. It's been all those shows or toys or brands that I grew up connected with. We've been able to bring those into video games.
That is so fun. And do you, like, when you guys are designing a game, I mean, is part of it writing a script in a sense? I mean, because it's like a little movie, some of these.
It certainly can include that type of storytelling. Not all games. If you think about Pong and Pac-Man from the beginning,
there wasn't much to say about Pong.
Yeah. But one of the things that switched for Pac-Man and made it such a popular title was they did start to inject character and a little brief story, whether it's just a, cops and robbers type chase thing. But as they started to get more character and brand and identity within those characters, players started to connect with them more and more. So even if it's a simple game, we're always trying to find ways that players can connect with the characters, can connect with a story, but more than anything, just have fun mechanics to engage with.
It has to take a team, though. How many different types of brains do you need on a project?
Sure. On small projects, sometimes you only get one brain. Games are at a state now where you can make very small games solo. You can code it yourself. You can create the artwork yourself. You can come up with a story on your own. But if even through that description, you can identify a few key roles, programming, art, and writing. And if we add a bigger team, then we have production and management, perhaps some sound and music design, testing. There's a lot of different roles that can play into it for sure.
So here's what I love is that if anyone out there is thinking, oh, I want to do this, you teach classes at Maryville.
I do, yeah. And I've been involved in education as an adjunct for over a decade, but it's been in the last 5 years or so that I've become more committed to growing a program at Maryville University in St. Louis. So we started with a few key classes just to kind of test the waters. And as more students became more interested and as the outcomes became more demonstrable of if you learn this, you can go do this in a career. As that became more clear, we expanded and we developed a concentration within their interactive design program that's graduating more and more students each year.
That's so cool. And are your students going out and getting super cool jobs too? I mean, are you like, oh, so-and-so's over at this and so-and-so's over at that?
Yeah, you know, I try not to get too, yes, to be frank, that is happening.
I know you're really humble, but you can talk about this.
Yeah, well, and it's something where, you know, it's fulfilling to see that path complete and to complete in a way that makes these students happy and satisfied and accomplished. So like with any role in any program, in any career, sometimes you find students that attach onto a position very quickly, and sometimes it requires some searching to find the right match.
Right.
But it's always satisfying when they find that gig that really makes them tick.
Do you have any of your students working for you now?
Yeah, for sure.
You're like, you should hang out with me more.
Absolutely. And if you look, even just kind of up in areas like Chicago, if you look, there are game development studios around the universities. It's still a fantastic path forward for someone wanting to get into the industries to go through traditional four-year education and get connected with a studio. And to be near those academic institutions is a benefit because you can get injected in the curriculum. You can observe the students while they're in classes or see their senior capstone projects, for example, and really start to identify students that would make good fits for the studio. So I am very clear and open about recruiting from my own student, body, I guess. But they go on to get other positions outside of Graphite Lab as well.
So what kind of classes do they, what kind of classes do you teach? I'm guessing it's more than one.
There's a collection, and they break down into those same categories I hinted at a few moments ago of some focus on the programming or the scripting and coding parts of it, a lot focus on the art and the visual presentation of it all. And then there's some that focus on the pure design elements. For example, if you're going to make a game like Pong, the decision to make scoring or the paddles work in a certain way or the ball to move at a certain speed, that's all a game designer's obligation is to figure those bits and pieces out. So we have classes focused on that discipline as well.
What I love about you guys too is that your games are very family focused.
Sure. Yeah, it's something that's been, it's been a fantastic niche for us to just hold on to and develop and gain experience through. But I have three daughters of my own, and it's always kind of achieved a higher purpose for me to make games that, you know, they're able to play, and whether they're educational or just, you know, I think just more accessible to a mass market audience, that's always been fulfilling for me. So that's been our focus.
I am fascinated with some of the games that are out there right now. And I remember my daughter when she was younger, and there were days that they would let the kids bring their phones in and play games or whatever. And she had this one teacher who was just like talking about how it was rotting their brains and all. And at the time, my daughter was playing Minecraft, and I was like, does she understand how amazing that game? I don't look at this as rotting your brain. I think it's fantastic. I mean, do you get that little blowback sometimes from people, or?
Especially with a player of a younger age. Some of the properties we've worked with, they aim to that 5 and under crowd. We've worked with everything from Dora the Explorer to My Little Pony to now LOL Surprise. And there are players under the age of 6 that you know want to play these games. And so when you're looking at that younger audience, there are some more conversations about how do we help with moderation? How do we encourage taking breaks and that sort of thing? So I think there's some of those questions that are certainly valid. But to label it all as just brain rot, I think is a little yeah, lazy.
I was taken aback. I was like, I don't think she really gets what you guys are doing. I mean, there's some amazing things going on here.
Absolutely.
But I love that. I think that's, I mean, I did not realize that was part of the conversation that you had with how do we encourage breaks. I mean, that's so responsible. Thank you.
Sure. Well, thank you. Yeah, it's... As we started making some of those games, is when I was a young parent and thinking about how do we not just communicate to the player, but also include their parents in some of this decision making. Those conversations, realizations, and discussions we started in 2006, 2007, as more and more games, started to feature these younger brands.
Wow, I love it. You're awesome, Matt.
Thanks.
So I have some fun kind of outside-of-the-box questions I wanted to ask you. You ready?
Great. I'm ready.
Okay. So you talked about some games that you played, but is there ever in your journey of playing games, was there ever a game that you played when you were younger? You're like, this is just ridiculous. This game should not have been made.
I mean, there's lots of them that I probably can't even discuss on the air. Here's the nice thing about games is it's a new medium in many kind of senses of the definition. It's been around for maybe 50 years. You know, it's newer than film. It's certainly newer than, traditional, literature and writing a novel or something like that. But there's a lot of new territory that games is still trying to, break into. There's new stories to be told. There's new mechanics to try out because of that. And because I think the industry is populated by a more youthful and energetic crowd, you can get a really, really wide range of wackiness out there.
I bet.
For sure. Yeah.
I see some games just, I love, because I got to tell you, that's like my nighttime, when I'm just going to veg out for a bit, I have to play some of my games. And some of the things I come across, I'm like, what is this? I got to get rid of this game right now. This is just terrible.
For sure. And there's been a lot of evolutions over the years as you can develop more accomplished graphics and design. Along with that comes, some of those envelopes being pushed for sure.
So I was looking at your website and I love it because, I mean, websites really reflect personality a lot of times, and you can tell that you guys are just a fun, humble bunch of people. But one of the things you have on there is you're like, oh, and here's a crackling fire. And you're like, why don't you give us a call and call, we'll have some drinks. And I was like, I wonder if anyone's ever taken him up on that.
Not on that invite in particular, but it's funny you mentioned that. We did a Kickstarter campaign for one of our games, and it was successful eventually. The first time we did the Kickstarter for that game, it was not successful, and there is a bit of a superstition that if you want to kickstart a video game, you have to have your characters sitting around a fire on the page. So the first time we were not successful... We were looking for any sort of edge. So the first time when we failed, so that's where the crackling fire came from and why we included it on the website.
Oh, how fun. That is hilarious. That's a great backstory. So that's the whole thing. Have them sitting around a crackling fire. Your characters will make it then.
There you go. Yeah.
Awesome. So one of the questions I'm asking everyone, and one of the reasons why you're on is you are a kind person. And I know it now even more so with you talking about, the responsibility you take on when you approach these games and the types of games that you guys design for the family-friendly type games. I love it. But I'm all about kindness. Kindness is my big movement this year. I want kindness to be like the cool way of being. Have you recently witnessed or received or given kindness that just give me a recent thing that comes to mind?
Oh, goodness. The things that kind of light me up, I guess if it's just a natural kind of thing there, a few family friends that we see really intermittently, to be honest, but we're able to see them recently, and they have a son that's really into games and really into drawing, spending time with him, just kind of really just kind of translating the things that I know, the elements of game design and drawing and other things. It was really pretty, it was entertaining and fun and satisfying, because I was, you know, I was that 8-year-old kid at one point who wanted to use art to make games and tell stories. And I didn't really have, you know, a mentor above me. You know, games was really new in the 80s. So that was kind of a fun moment. And now I get texts, you know, every couple of days of his creations, his drawings. And it's good to see that spark has been lit. Yeah.
And that is awesome. I mean, and it's so true. I seem to have always gotten myself into working somewhere where there wasn't college classes to go to or mentors. You were just kind of like, oh, well, let me figure this out, you know. But people like us then, I feel like it's part of our responsibility then to mentor people. We're like, all right, look, we did all kinds of crazy stuff to get to this place where we get to do what we love to do. So let me tell you some of the things to avoid, you know, and let's help you, you know, get you started a little bit quicker than it took me, kind of thing. I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And that's a lot of the motivations behind growing academic programs or building Graphite Lab. A lot of it is to provide opportunities for kids that want to be involved in a, you know, creative and entertainment industry, but don't really see that path in a place like St. Louis. So, it's been a little, I guess, self-serving in that, right? Trying to correct for 30 years ago.
But it is cool that it's in St. Louis. I mean, I bet you that's, I have a feeling that people are surprised by that.
They are.
It's improving. You always think California, sure. Right?
And it's absolutely there. It's in California. It's in Seattle. It's in Austin. It's in the places you would expect. St. Louis isn't a place that people would expect. But over the last decade, I would say, you know, I'd go to conferences and I'd talk about where we were making these games. 10 years ago, people wouldn't even know where St. Louis was.
Right, right.
You know,
is that the place with the... You got that arch thing there?
I say, hey, you know, Budweiser beer and you know, St. Louis Cardinals. And, oh, yeah, we get it. You know, but even outside of the country, it's even more difficult. Now, over the last, you know, little while, and it's not just Graphite Lab, but other teams that are here and growing and developing great games have helped draw attention to what we're doing here in St. Louis. It's still
nice.
It's still young. It's still growing, but it is growing. And that's been pretty satisfying. Now they know who's here and what we're making. And there's been a lot of accomplishment that they're aware of now.
Way to represent. Thank
That's
you,
right.
Matt.
You bet.
So tell us where people can learn more about you and Graphite Lab and your classes and everything.
For sure. So you can find Graphite Lab online at graphitelab.com. You can find us on most social media at Graphite Lab. And you can learn more about Maryville's programs by visiting their website or finding us on social media at Maryville Game.
Awesome. Well, thank you, sir. So great to get to catch up with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
I totally appreciate it. Everyone out there, you've been listening to Mishmash. Find us where you find all the great podcasts. And thanks for tuning in. Love you all. Bye.